So the first question really is what do you do and how did you get there?
Yeah, so what we're trying to do at Fleet Evolution is rather cheesy, save the planet one electric car at a time. And we do that by removing a lot of the common objections people have from going electric. A lot of them are kind of born out of myths. So things like educating people on the fact that, might be famous last words, I'm sitting here surrounded by electric vehicles outside our office. And as of yet, they have not spontaneously burst into flames or exploded or anything like that happened. You can drive them and charge publicly. And the one key thing we try to overcome is a cost objection, because when people talk about objections with going electric, cost objection is kind of real. If you look at entry-level vehicles, like my wife, for example, has a Skoda Enyaq, it's only about £1,500 more than the Kodiaq, which is a petrol or diesel version, so not too bad. But if you look at my car, I've got an Audi e-tron, which list price is about £30,000 more than the alternative diesel. So there's an obvious issue going electric for people from an affordability perspective. And we overcome that via a tax efficient scheme called salary sacrifice, which effectively makes brand new electrics cheaper than keeping a 5-year-old diesel at the end of your drive. So that's what we do.
Right. No, excellent. And I jumped on your website and I saw that really clearly. It lays that out really clearly in terms of the benefits of doing that kind of thing. So I thought was excellent. So I guess a lot of what you do is getting the message out there so that people actually realize there's an opportunity that they probably don't really exist, I get that they know exists. Is that right?
Yeah, so it's building awareness, but typically when we go to HR shows, so these are larger employers. When I say larger, I mean kind of 200 employees plus. So you'd like to think they're at the more aware end of the market. It's still the case that probably only one in five is aware that you can actually do this scheme,
Right.
where you give an employee the opportunity to take a car, pay for it through their salary, and then they save all the tax, and I and you as an employer don't actually have any cost. So
No.
it's still really that awareness piece we need to build.
Sure. No, I know. I get that. I get that entirely. And I can see from the business that you've been running it a while and it's growing. Tell me about some of the challenges in growing the business then, Andy.
The first challenge was I started it probably 6 years too early, to be honest. So I expected us, we've always focused on electric cars, but when we first started, your only two electric options were a Nissan Leaf, which did about 60 miles in winter, or a Tesla, which cost about the same as certainly where we are, kind of Staffordshire, as a small terrace house. So huge expense. And I thought we'd be where we are today by about 2016, 2017.
Right.
But we weren't. We didn't really get mainstream acceptance of electric vehicles until 2019. And even then, it was still certain manufacturers kicking and screaming, and the infrastructure not quite where it needed to be to make the transition fairly simple for most of us. So that's been the biggest obstacle initially. 2019, government policy changed. All of a sudden, the government got well behind electric cars. The EU brought in lots of policies around manufacturers' CO2 emissions. So manufacturers started to get behind electric cars. And it was a real upsurge for us. And then, of course, we had COVID. So went absolute great guns, and then COVID. But through COVID, I think people have become accustomed to working at home more. People have become accustomed to cleaner air. People have become a little bit more aware of what's going on in the planet. And through the COVID period, we've literally trebled in size, both from an employee base and from a staff perspective. So it's kind of very, very slow at first, thinking, have I actually done the right thing? From 2010 to about 2018. But since 2018, it's been really, really good growth for us. And not just for us as a business, but for people generally in the electric vehicle market.
Fantastic. And yeah, you're right, because I read on the website you started in 2012. So you were really ahead of the game, weren't you, in kind of the whole electric. So I'm just curious to know how that happened. I mean, were you really thinking, look, what does the future hold? Where's the growth going to be? I'm going to get in early to a market that I can see is going to be big. I mean, is that what happened?
Partly, but I have to be brutally honest, it was driven by a lot of self-interest, not from finances. So we started it in 2010, but it took some time to get the technology right and
Right.
everything else, because Before 2010, you could salary sacrifice for a car, but it wasn't going to be electric and you had to be a huge employer to do it then. We wanted to make it simple for all employers.
Sure.
And there's two reasons. I came across salary sacrifice cars at a HR company I used to work for, selling software.
Right.
And I liked the look of the scheme in terms of how it made things more affordable. But I'm
Sure.
also, or I used to be an asthmatic. Apparently, you can't be cured as an asthmatic, but I used to have quite bad asthma
Right.
when I grew up in a little, well, a large town called Walsall.
Right.
I
So,
moved to the countryside, the Staffordshire countryside, in 2003.
yeah.
And since that point, I've never had to use an inhaler, never had an asthma attack. And through just reading more about air pollution, all of those types of things, and then having drove some electric products back in 2010, which was a Leaf then, but it was the entry level car. It was
Sure.
a Japanese import, that particular one of
Sure.
the pioneers. I actually thought this was definitely where we were going to go. So I wish it had happened quicker. I wish I'd maybe held off possibly for a few more
Right,
years, but
sure.
it wasn't just the financial arguments. It was also just genuinely
Sure.
just getting people into green products. And I think hopefully that's been something I've really helped people do.
No, absolutely. Interesting story to how you got there, but you're absolutely right. I guess you had to be a bit patient, but as you say, it then really took off. So when you say, I mean, it tripled in growth, I mean, that's phenomenal for you. Is there anything that comes to mind in terms of some of the challenges or some of the things you had to do when the business was scaling up that fast, that were tricky?
Yeah, funding was a huge issue because if you imagine electric vehicles, typically kind of 50K list price. Cheapest ones are kind of 30, but they do go right way up to 150. And unfortunately, or fortunately, depending on your point of view, the company directors that make the decisions like the more expensive products. So those are the first orders you get. So,
Right.
yeah, kind of having to find 7, 8 million pounds worth of the early days of funding a month was a challenge, especially in COVID, because our historic funder pulled out the market to
Right.
just retreat back to overseas. They were an overseas funding partner that we used to use, so we had to get some new partners on board who A had to be comfortable with electric and B had to be comfortable with the way we operate, which is quite unique in terms of how we handle things like levers and all of that politics. So yeah, funding was a really big issue. Especially through COVID, when people obviously were very, very concerned. Other issues through COVID were things like semiconductors. I know it sounds strange, but
Sure.
we had more orders than we could handle. We had people clamoring for cars, and we're telling them it's going to take a year to actually deliver it to you. It was a very, very challenging from that perspective as well, and getting temporary product for the options like that. And then the last one, of course, was the cost of living. So I won't get political. I don't think it's entirely Liz Truss's fault that interest rates went high, but she certainly accelerated them one heck of a way, didn't she? And that impacted, again, the cost of the vehicles and the cost of that funding. So again, we had that to bear, just that rapid increase and dealing with that. But they were all challenges we kind of, they were nice challenges to have. There were companies in COVID that had a challenge of, are we going to continue to trade? And my challenge was, how do we temper the increase in sales and increase in revenue with the demands of funding and demands on the business? So it was a nice challenge to have, really, just
Sure.
feathering the throttle rather than thinking we'll have a company in a year's time, which a lot of businesses were in that position.
No, absolutely. Yeah, I guess so many businesses have just never come across anything in terms of a way that it changed so many dynamics around them in such a short space of time. And then how do you pivot to be able to kind of manage and deal with that kind of thing? But it sounds like you had a great opportunity and you went out and found the means to kind of succeed in getting funding and being able to kind of pivot when there was such a big opportunity and made it work, which is great. And I guess from your perspective, if you can see that growth, I presume therefore then that becomes, if you like, a new level. You're actually working with more clients and therefore you've kind of got a good renewable kind of model. I mean, a recurring model, I guess, is what I mean in a way. Is that right?
It is, and it's actually a bit more exciting than that because we do aim to treble again. The measurement for businesses like us is fleet size, and we are aiming to treble again over the next 4 years.
Wow.
But We can do that two ways now. So we can do that one way by obviously signing more customers, but the other way is taking care of the customers we have, because if you look at the employee base, more and more of those employees are finding electric cars affordable because electric cars are reducing cost all the time. The infrastructure is getting better and better. In fact, I think providing you can charge at home now, the infrastructure is perfect for us, for the kind of 60% of us that applies to. The new product is coming out, so the cheapest cars now are about £25,000 for an electric car, which is about £300 a month on our scheme. And it's really raising the amount of employees that can look at this product realistically. So think it's going to be not simple to achieve the same growth over the next 4 years, but certainly providing we do the basics, look after our customers, keep doing what we do well, it will just follow.
Yeah, no, absolutely. No, I get that. I get that. So slightly a different tangent. I'm always curious about time management. I mean, again, through growth and getting busy, and I've seen the organization you've got on your kind of website. Have you ever had kind of time management issues, and how do you manage time with all the things that you might want to do and prioritize
I always have time management issues.
it?
A lot of business leaders have come from either operations background, sales background, that type of area. I came from very much a sales background. So I'm very much hunter driven. I chase that short-term opportunity by nature. I've had to learn to recruit strong people that can take that role on and then be very, very hands off. You know, we signed a 12,000 employee customer last year. And I left it entirely to my sales manager and my one of our operations ladies to handle that. And that was hard. That was difficult to kind of give it over. But by doing that and allowing myself to take a back seat and just coach, just developing to being a coach. You don't need to be a manager nowadays. If you've got the right people, which we do, we have a fantastic apprentice program that all our talent join us through. And if you've got the right people that you just trust to deliver, you'll be amazed what they can achieve. And then I can worry just behind the scenes about all the kind of the macro decisions there to drive the business hopefully forward into different directions.
No, and I couldn't believe I couldn't agree with that more, in the sense that, and it takes a while for you. You said it, you've got to kind of trust people as you pass that down. And at the end of the day, some people might fail a little, but you know, that's the way they learn. But if you learn to let go more and more, they pick up the reins, and then that actually what makes a business be able to grow and be bigger, because you've got good people. I think it's Stephen Bartlett that says the only job he had to do as he grew his business was recruit good people. As long as he did that, the rest of it all worked. So no, that's great. That's excellent. Is there anything, another kind of interesting question, anything that you would, you know, go back and tell your 18-year-old self now, in terms of things that you've learned now that you've got to this point? Is there something that comes to
Long have we got? It's
mind?
how long have we got? I think the one main thing I'd say to 18-year-old myself is just don't doubt yourself. And to be honest, I'd probably say look to go the entrepreneur route a bit earlier, look to go yourself a bit earlier. I sweated blood and tears, as the saying goes, for some fairly large corporates, which, yes, they paid me relatively well, but they had no loyalty. The loyalty was always just one way. Looking back, you can see that. And I think while it's important you kind of get your grounding, if you've got that hard work ethic and that innovative mindset, just back yourself. And if you have a great idea, talk to some people to stand to check it, and then just go for it. Because the sky's the limit, and you'll take other people with you and deliver.
No, I get that. And I guess, yeah, that is good advice for younger people, because they again might be, especially in this environment, a bit more risk averse. And what does that really mean to do that? But I think, yeah, we all learn you can be a bit braver than you think, and therefore, and the I think you're right, working for yourself, the sky's the limit, whereas corporate, you've got it's fixed, isn't it? And as you say, they might pay reasonably well, but it'll only go so far. So no, okay. Last couple of questions. One is in terms of Have you had a good coach or a good mentor? Is anybody who you really respect or look out into the marketplace that you hold up as being somebody who kind of gets it right?
My best coach, but this is going way back to my childhood, is probably my school rugby coach.
Right, okay.
To be honest, I grew up without a father figure, any kind of strong role, male role models. He took me to one side. He saw potential. I wasn't really into sports when he first saw me at school. He just saw me lifting lots of weights in the gym when I was about 11 and said, right, you've got to play rugby. And just, he just built me up so much and made me a very different person. And he did the game of rugby, made me a very different person, I feel, to what I would have been if I hadn't had all that kind of confidence instilled in me, which didn't come naturally from my kind of background. So he would probably be my most inspirational coach. But you
Right.
can ask me for a business one as well.
And only if you've got one, but have you got one?
Well, I mean, I'd say Clive Woodward again from a rugby perspective because just that marginal gains thing, but he does do lots of business ones, so I'll use that as well. So marginal gains, you know, it's just it's a great adage to take to all business. I'm kind of hoping that David Brailsford will take it to Old Trafford now because although I need a bit more than marginal because we haven't got another kind of 100 years to play with, but yeah, just that marginal gains ethos you can apply to every single aspect of your life, just giving that little bit more and how it compounds. It's vital for business and for life.
Yeah. And those stories are their philosophy in the way they do that, the kind of 1% and everything that adds all they, I mean, and that was proven in what they did. I mean, in terms of what the teams achieved at the end of the day, I think that's it's there proven. So it's not only that you recognize, okay, there's a theory here, but yeah, that really works. And so you're right, you can apply it to your own business. Excellent. Final question then, and then that is just in terms of the future. What makes you optimistic about the future?
So I believe that if we carry on this path, we will make the world a better place. I know that sounds really cheesy, but that's what I firmly believe. And of course, revenue will follow, profit will follow. That'll be fantastic. The business will grow. Whereas a dad of three, you know, I think it's vitally important we try and make changes to this world. We've kind of seen it this year again. This winter has just been the most horrific wet winter we've ever had.
Sure.
So I think for the business, I think electrification is one step. I think then we're looking more at kind of people mobility and sustainable mobility.
Right.
So we're in lots of pressure groups putting pressure on governments for things like better public transport in cities and those types of environments because it's sorely lacking at the moment. We just need to keep the pressure on because there's so many other areas that people need to look at. We need to look at solar, renewables, and we have incentives going on in those areas as well. Just to take ownership for today, because while what we do today isn't going to make a difference really today, it's going to make a huge difference tomorrow. As a species, we always look very, very short-sighted, don't we? Just what's in it for me
Yep.
now? And I think there's quite a few incentives now, like solar and things like that, which do give you more instant payback, but it's what it's going to deliver further down the line. I think we are waking up to that slowly but surely. It's took a while. It's been painful. One of my bugbears during COVID was while it was horrific, the amount of people obviously lost their lives. When you look at the amount of people that lose their lives due to air quality every year, we had the tools 10 years ago to do something about that
Oh.
and did very, very little. But when you look at what's going on now, people are starting to make those changes. Whether it's through being financial reward or whether it's through being nagged to death by your kids, because kids are really environmentally aware now.
Oh, no, that was the point I was going to make, and you're absolutely right. As we see the generation change, we go to Generation Z, and they are absolutely much more on the ball of that kind of thing than and if you've got employees coming to work for you, they're looking for what's is this just a job, or is the whole business got a real purpose? And you really explain that clearly in terms of that you've got that clear purpose, and understand the background as to why that is. So that should really help you recruit and retain people as well into that business. So no, that's really great, excellent, and well, that's really good. Thank you for spending the time late as we head towards kind of Easter to do that. Really appreciate it.